I'm shaking in fear. You're unhinged, he screeches. So they say. My smile drops and I lift the hammer. But I am also your prince, and I do as I please. I bring the mallet down, his loud scream piercing through the air, drowning out the sound of his kneecap shattering. Yeah. I scrunch my nose, satisfaction collecting in the base of my spine and trickling outward. I bet that hurt. Sighing, I allow the sharp edge on the back of the hammer to skim across the top of his intact bones. You're here because you touched something that wasn't meant for you.
You're insane.
Lifting the hammer, I use it to scratch the corner of my forehead. Speaking of my mental health, I cannot stand leaving things uneven. His head droops to the side. It drives me mad. I rest the blunt edge of the metal against his knee. Makes me itch. Are you ever like that? His screams are even more delicious with the second blow, tears running down his face and mixing with his snot, every piece of the man he was draining away as he suffocates in his pain. I throw the hammer to the side, leaning forward and running my fingertip along the gash in his throat, the one left behind by Sarah, pride shooting through my chest like fireworks. Standing up, I walk around his mangled legs until I'm by his head and grip him by the shoulders. His screams turn to whimpers as I drag him across the floor to the back of the cabin, where two large pieces of wood are affixed to the wall. A cross, with leather cuffs attached to the bottom piece, and both of the sides. Grunting as I hoist up Claudius's limp frame, I push him against the beams, leaning my body weight into his to hold him in place as I grab one of his arms and lock him inside the leather restraint. He sucks in a breath, blood trickling down his forehead. Tristan, he whispers, hiccuping around his words.
Please.
I smile at his pleading, working on attaching his other wrist. Do you not want to play anymore?
No,
he whispers, his voice hoarse. I squat down, wrenching his legs together, causing him to scream out again as I bind his ankles to the bottom of the cross. Standing back up, I look him in the eyes, revulsion bleeding from my gaze. I didn't want you to play with Lady Beatro either. Yet here we are, with you having done it.
I don't...
Shh! I press my fingers against his mouth. No more speaking, or I'll chop off your cock and make you choke on it. I step back, looking over my handiwork, ensuring that he's bound tightly. I have to admit, I prefer fire. Moving across the small room to the cupboards, I rummage around the shelves until I find a carving knife, holding it in front of my face to inspect the sharp edge. But the punishment must fit the crime.
I've committed no crime,
he rasps, his voice weak and pathetic. You've touched something that isn't yours to touch. In fact, I've recently concluded that she's mine to touch. Making my way back toward him, I skim the blade up his arm until I reach the forefinger of his left hand. So the fact you know what her skin feels like, well, that's unacceptable to me. I press the curved part of the knife into the tip of his finger and drag it down the underside, feeling his flesh peel away from his bone like the skin of an apple. He screams, his body thrashing against the tight leather bindings. Does it hurt already? I ask, tilting my head. Once the thin sliver is to his palm, I tear it from his hand, dangling it in front of his face. Rather ghastly looking, isn't it? Claudius's body shakes so hard, the wood of the cross trembles. One down, nine to go. I drop my voice. You know, this is so much fun. Reminds me of when we were kids, when you'd help my brother as he beat me black and blue. Rage curdles my stomach and billows through my chest, and I drop the piece of skin, moving even closer to his arm.
Please, God,
he cries. Chuckling, I grip his second finger. I'm your god now, and I don't hear your pleas.
Chapter 32. Sarah B. My eyes scan the ballroom. Over and over, they flick from one corner to the next, waiting for the stumpy frame of Lord Claudius. But he's nowhere to be found. It doesn't ease my anxiety or calm the embers of anger glowing in my chest. Regret is already settling in thick that I didn't kill him when I had the chance. Fear whispering that maybe he's found someone else to prey on, someone who isn't hiding daggers on their thigh. Michael sits next to me as we stare out at the dance floor, his mother and my uncle both having retired for the night. The shiny tile reflects people's smiling faces as they drink and dance the night away. And I can't help but feel like I'm watching a show. Hundreds of people who live in an alternate reality, so different from what I know to be the truth. But isn't that the case with almost everything? We spin tales and weave stories, creating a narrative that dictates how we're perceived. Or in some cases, how others live.
Are you having a good time?
Michael asks, engaging me in conversation for the first time all night. I grin. It's lovely. He stands, reaching out a hand.
Shall we dance?
My brows rise, nausea teasing my esophagus. But I place my palm in his and let him lead me to the dance floor, hoping that nobody can see the slight tearing near the hem of my dress. The ballroom clears, people moving to the outskirts to make room for us, and I feel sick. I feel sick when his arm wraps around my waist, pulling me in close. I feel sick when his hand grips mine, and I feel sick when he smiles.
You are quite the prize, Lady Beatro.
Bile climbs up my throat. I'm no one's prize. The musicians end the song, immediately starting up another, and I groan at the thought of having to continue this dance. My feet are aching and my soul is sore.
Your Majesty,
Xander's voice breaks through the fog. May I cut in? Michael nods, and it doesn't escape my notice that I never get a say. No one asks if I'd like to continue. They just pass me around like an object, here for everyone's viewing pleasure. Xander steps in close, and I smile as he takes my hand, but he doesn't return the gesture. The next song starts, and he jerks me across the room, my feet stumbling as I try to keep up with his steps. I wince when his palm tightens around mine, crushing my fingers together until my knuckles crunch.
What do you think it is you're doing? He hisses.
His tone catches me off guard, and I jerk back.
Excuse me? I have done nothing. Don't play innocent with me, cousin, he sneers. I saw you.
My heart deep dives to the ground.
I won't have everything we've done, everything we've worked for, thrown in the trash because you can't keep your legs closed.
Shock rips through me, a knot of emotion expanding in my throat until it seems like it will burst.
I have done everything that you've asked, and yet you accuse me like this? I saw you, he repeats, with Lord Claudius.
You saw nothing, clearly.
If it had been someone else?
His brows rise to his peppery hairline.
If it had been the king?
I clench my jaw, shaking my head. Because while his accusation is wrong, everything he's saying still rings true. Michael wouldn't have cared how it was happening or whether I had a say. He'd only care how it looks. My face burns and I nod, trying to stem the rush of tears begging to escape.
You're right, I choke out. So let me finish the job now and I'll die happily. What are you making me wait for?
Quiet, he snaps. People can hear.
You're the one speaking of it!
My voice grows louder, unable to temper the emotion pushing against the wounded walls of my chest.
I believe you owe me a dance.
Xander stumbles to a stop at the sound of the silky voice, and my heart spins on its axis as I meet Tristan's gaze. His eyes are tumultuous, wild, as he stares down at my cousin.
You're dismissed, Alexander.
There's no room for argument in his tone, and even if there was, Xander couldn't refuse. Not here, not in front of people. As I glance around the room, it's no surprise that people have stopped to stare. They always do when Tristan is near. I don't blame them. I can't ever force myself to look away. Clearing his throat, Xander gives a thin smile and releases me, waving his arm and tilting his head in a pathetic attempt of a bow.
Of course, Your Highness.
The disrespect is clear. But Tristan doesn't even flinch. Instead, moving toward me. My heart sputters, the butterflies in my stomach taking flight. Normally, I'd despise them for showing up, but compared to all the other emotions I've been having tonight, they're a welcome distraction. His eyes meet mine as he swoops in, his arm wrapping around my waist and pulling me close. My breath whooshes from my lungs when our hands tangle, and my heart dives into my stomach, wanting to rip off my black satin gloves just to feel what it's like to have his fingers pressed to mine. He lifts our palms out to the side, and then we're waltzing. He commands my body the same way he commands a room, effortlessly. I sink into his hold, allowing my mind to shut off for the first time all night. For some reason, the way he's holding me, the way he's pulling me just a little too tight and a little too close, makes tears crop up behind my eyes. He makes me feel safe, important. And I haven't known that since my father. If I dig a little deeper, it's easy to see that Tristan and I, we're cut from the same cloth. And that's part of the reason I can't stand the sight of him. Because looking at Tristan is like looking in a mirror and seeing the pieces of myself I try so hard to hide. But he doesn't hide them. And I'm not quite sure how to handle that. My jaw stiffens as my vision blurs, and I try harder to hold back the sadness, not wanting to show weakness in a room full of people. Tristan's face softens, his fingers tightening around my waist before he pushes me outward, spinning my body around and drawing me back in, closer than we were before, too close to be appropriate. My stomach flutters like it has wings, and wetness seeps between my thighs. His lips brush my ear.
No, little doe, not here. They don't get your tears.
I nod against him, my nostrils flaring as I breathe in deep to stem the angst that's rolling around my insides like a wrecking ball. I'm sure people are staring, but I revel in his touch. His fingers dig into me like he never wants to let me go before he steps back, his hand slipping into his pocket as he bends at the waist and grips my fingers, bringing them up to his mouth. Arousal pulses through my core when his lips touch my skin, my forehead scrunching when something crinkles between the pads of our fingers. I tighten my grip, so whatever it is doesn't drop from my grasp.
Thank you for the dance.
And then he spins around and storms away, his black tailcoat whipping behind him. My fist closes around the piece of paper, my heart beating wildly in my chest. I smile at the few lingering eyes, and as casually as possible, walk to the side of the room, nodding at people as I pass them by, anticipation winding tighter with every step I take. It isn't until I make it to the far wall that I turn away and unfold the note with trembling fingers.
Meet me where you kiss the stars.
Chapter 33, Tristan. Jealousy is quite the emotion. I would be a liar if I said I've never had it sear against my insides and singe wicked thoughts into my brain. The first time was when my father missed our evening talk, choosing instead to meet with Michael and go over a Privy Council meeting that was happening the next day. For hours I sat at the edge of the cliff, trying to convince myself that he would show, while knowing deep down he wouldn't. But I worked through the envy years ago, knowing I was destined for greatness, that I would rise and take everything in the end. As for my father, well, things don't hurt as bad when you learn to numb yourself to the pain. The scar on my face twinges, and my fingertips graze across the rough edges, trying to come to terms with the fact that once again, the bitter tang of jealousy is carving itself into my psyche, creating emotions I haven't felt since I was young. Seeing Sarah get manhandled by Claudius sent a rage unfurling within me. Disgusted, he thought he was worthy of speaking her name, let alone touching her skin. But seeing her with my brother? The jealousy is a sickness, mutating every cell and infecting every organ, until it coats my insides and settles into the marrow of my bones. It makes me feel, once again, that I'm nothing but a lost little boy, stuck in the shadows and watching him hold everything I wish to have. But Michael would rather kill her first than allow the embarrassment to his name of letting her go. So, until I give the hyenas their revolution and assume the throne, all I can hope for is stolen moments in the shadowy nights. The grounds are darker than normal, thick clouds looming over the city and hiding the sky from view. I have no clue if the ball rages on, but now I don't care. Edward's already told me we've accomplished what we set to do, and out here, in my mother's garden, no one is around. Leaves crunch on the ground behind me, and I tilt my head back, blowing rings of smoke in the air.
Technically, there are no stars out tonight for me to kiss.
I smile at Sarah's voice.
Maybe they were waiting for you to arrive.
She scoffs, walking around the bench with her hands on her hips. Gone is the woman in the lace ball gown, and in her place is a simple girl in a black dress with a skirt that stops above the ankle. Earlier she was beautiful, but it's in these moments where she takes my breath away. Smirking, she walks up to me, her floral scent wafting into my nostrils as she bends down and takes the joint from my mouth, bringing it to her lips and inhaling, her gaze holding mine. My fingers tense with the need to pull her into my lap.
So,
she straightens, glancing around.
This is different.
I quirk a brow. Is it? She sighs, pursing her lips as she stares down at me.
I've decided you're incapable of having an actual conversation. All you do is ask question after question.
My legs stretch out until they surround her, caging her in. Do you think so? I ask, my hands reaching for her hips. Her eyes widen when I grab her, pulling her forward until her shins kiss the bench, my boots skimming the top of her ankles.
You've forgotten your place.
She gasps. No. Lifting my hand, I pluck the hash back from her mouth, allowing the tips of my fingers to graze against the pout of her lips. I've simply figured out yours. Her breathing stutters.
You asked me once to tell you a secret,
I continue. Do you still wish for one? She moves, sitting down next to me, her head tilting as she watches me with a curious gaze.
This feels like a trick.
Chuckling, I lean back against the bench. A crack sounds from the forest and her eyes fly to the sound before she whips her head around from side to side.
I should go,
she says. I wave my arm toward the door. So go. She doesn't move, although her eyes scan the perimeter.
Ma petite menteuse, we both know the risk excites you.
I slide closer to her on the bench.
Doesn't it?
She blows out a breath.
Stop doing that.
Doing what?
That,
she snaps.
You're infuriating. I'm not sure why I even came here. I'd rather drink a gallon of bleach than listen to you answer everything with a question for the rest of the night.
My lips tip up in the corners.
So ask me one instead then, little doe.
Stop calling me pet names,
she gripes.
It's not appropriate.
I smirk, puffing on the end of my joint.
Fine.
She leans her upper body in close, and my stomach flips, my eyes dropping to the swell of her breasts and wondering what her nipples look like, how they feel, if they're dying to be sucked the way I'm desperate to taste them. Her hand moves from her lap, rising until she's dusting her fingertips along the edge of my face. My nerves sizzle beneath her touch. How did you get your scar? The question snaps me out of the haze as quick as lightning, and I straighten, my mind getting lost in the memory. What's that? Michael's voice creeps along the back of my neck like a spider. I stiffen in my spot next to the fireplace, my fingers tightening around my charcoal as I work on the finishing touches to my latest piece. It's of my father and I, his arm around my shoulders as we stand at the cliff's edge. Shifting, I hunch my shoulders, turning my body as I smudge the edges on one of the trees, trying to ignore my brother's presence. The paper slices against my skin as the book is ripped from my hands. Anger pummels through my chest, and I grit my teeth, nostrils flaring. Give it back, I whisper. He looks down at the drawing, his brows morphing into sharp angles as he narrows his gaze, and when he raises his eyes, there's a hatred swimming through them, so potent it wraps around my neck like a noose. How cute, he mocks, his knuckles turning white where he's gripping the edge of the drawing. My stomach churns. Give it back, Michael. He cocks his head to the side. Is this what it was like, back when he used to pay you attention? Michael, I start, standing up, my stomach tensing into knots. I'm not kidding. Give it back. What are you gonna do, little lion? He sing-songs the nickname, elongating the vowels. Father isn't here to save you. He's busy preparing for a luncheon, one that I will attend at his side. My fists clench, his words slicing through me like a knife, nicking my bruised, abandoned heart. Why are you even still here? He continues, stepping closer, a haughty look coasting across his face. I stumble as I move away, the heat of the flames licking across my back as I press against the fireplace mantel. You're worthless, a waste of space, Tristan. The sooner you realize that and disappear, the better. He taps his chin. Maybe you should run away. Go rot with hyenas in the shadowed lands, or die from starvation in the plains of Campestria. He shrugs. See how much our father really loves you when you're wishing for him to hunt you down and bring you back home. My chest aches, every insult hitting their mark. Because the truth is, my father hasn't spent time with me in months. Not since Michael turned 15 and started showing an interest in his title. The only reason father even talks to you is because you were born first, I hiss. At least when he gave me attention, it was because he enjoyed my company. Michael's face turns to stone, his voice dropping to a deadly whisper. Tell yourself whatever you need, brother. But I've heard him say he wishes you'd never been born. My heart falters. You lie. We all wish for it. He moves closer again. You're a stain on our name, Tristan. That's why no one cares when you disappear for days. We all hope you'll stay gone. But for some reason you don't get the hint, and you keep coming back. I swallow around the thick knot in my throat, breaking eye contact as I try to shove down the gaping wound that's being torn through the center of my chest. Give me back my drawings, Michael. I whisper, my voice breaking on his name. You know what? He clicks his tongue. Why don't you go catch it? He tosses the sketchbook into the fire. No! I surge forward, reaching out, but the flames shoot higher, crackling as they eat the paper like fuel. Something snaps inside of me, and I spin, all of my pent-up rage propelling my limbs as I charge at him. I'm 3 years younger and far less capable when it comes to physical strength, but I still knock him off his feet, both of us tumbling to the ground. I'm going to kill you, I seethe, my hands wrapping around his neck and squeezing. Black fury races through every piece of me. Envy from him getting my father's time mixes with the sorrow of him destroying the only other thing that matters, my sketches. They're all I had to keep me company, my only friends. He overpowers me, throwing me across the room, my back smacking against the wood floor. Groaning, I roll over, squeezing my eyes shut at the sting in my spine. And then a sharp pain slices up the side of my face, agony spearing through me, making a scream scratch my throat roar as it pours from my mouth. Liquid gushes into my eye as I try to blink, my vision going red and dark, before gushing down my cheek and slipping through my lips, a metallic flavor settling on my tongue and making me retch. My head grows dizzy, woozy from the pain, and I throw my hand over my face, my fingers becoming slippery as they're coated in blood. The blurry form of Michael hovers over me, a fire poker gripped in his hand. "Now you don't even look like him," he sneers, spitting on my broken body. "See how much he loves you when you're nothing but a disfigured freak." He walks away and I curl into a ball, consciousness weaving in and out while I wish for someone to come and find me, to hold me, heal me, love me, the way they would if it were him. But no one ever comes.
"Tristan."
Sarah's voice snaps me back to the present, and I force a smile, my chest aching from the memory. She shakes her head, removing her hands from my face.
"You don't have to tell me. I shouldn't have asked."
Snapping my arms out, I grip her palms in mine, bringing them back until they cup my jaw. My brother was never a fan of the way I resembled our father. I suppose this was his way of settling the score. Her eyes flicker down the length of the jagged mark.
"Michael did this."
"Michael has done many things, little Doe. This is just one of them." Something dark coasts across her face, her jaw tensing as her fingers grip tighter on my face.
"I know."
I bring the joint to my lips one last time, the paper having burned to where it touches just above my fingers, and I inhale before tossing the end on the ground and stomping it out with my boot. My hand slides behind her, grasping the nape of her neck and dragging her into me until mere centimeters separate us, energy weaving between our bodies and spinning electricity through my chest, making my heart beat a staccato rhythm and nerves dance beneath my skin. I tilt my head, my thumb pressing into the bottom of her chin, forcing her perfect, pouty lips to part and ghost across the edges of mine. The tension of being so close, yet so far, almost kills me, and I swear to God I would give it all up right now if she would promise to be mine. I exhale, the smoke billowing from my mouth into hers. My cock is painfully hard. Her eyes widen in surprise, and my fingers tighten on the back of her neck, holding her in place, my other hand moving to her throat, two fingers stroking down the front as she swallows, the smoke that was inside my body escaping from her lips. "I'm going to kiss you now," I tell her.
"Why?"
she whispers. "Because, ma petite menteuse, the thought of not kissing you makes me want to die." Our lips collide, and with just one touch, one single moment, I know I'll never let her go.
Chapter 34. Sarah B. As usual when I'm with Tristan, everything around me mutes, dulls like it wasn't there to begin with. I don't worry about the ball that's likely still going strong at the other end of the castle. I don't think of how we're in the open. And while I've been assured no one comes to this garden, technically we could be found at any time. And I definitely don't focus on how I'm somehow supposed to kill this man. His kiss overwhelms every single one of my senses, and I sink into it, drowning in his essence, hoping the burn of his touch can blaze away the imprint of the ones before. He groans, his palm tightening on the back of my neck, his other hand sliding down my side. His touch soaks through the thin material of my slip dress and the chemise underneath, sending goosebumps sprouting along my arms. He reaches the outer part of my thigh, bunching the fabric in his fingers as his lips break away, skimming down the expanse of my throat. I tilt my head, allowing him easier access, even though somewhere in the deep recesses of my mind I know I shouldn't. But I like the way his lips feel, pressed against my skin.
We shouldn't be doing this here, I force out.
I disagree.
His teeth nip my collarbone, his fingers slipping beneath the shoulder strap of my garment, tingles sprinkling through my middle and pooling between my legs.
Someone could...
He bites my shoulder this time. Someone
could see,
I stutter.
I'll kill anyone who does.
The words he just said so casually should give me pause, but they don't. They excite me more. It's intoxicating to have a man willing to do anything just so he can keep touching you. Still, the risks outweigh any momentary reward, so I push against his chest and scoot away, reaching up to smooth the flyaways of my hair.
And your brother will kill me if he finds out.
Tristan exhales a deep breath, his jaw grinding. He hops up from the bench, grabbing my hand and pulling me behind him before I can even process we're moving.
Wait, I say, as he drags us toward the forest. Tristan, wait! What are you doing?
I try to rip my fingers from his grip, but he just smirks back at me and picks up the pace.
I should put a stop to whatever this is. There's no way it will end well.
But I let him lead me anyway. He doesn't stop until we're in the middle of thick trees, the leaves covering us in darkness that even the moon can't shine through.
Where are we going, Tristan? You cannot just traipse into the forest and manhandle me however you... Oh!
He jerks me forward, my body twirling around him and slamming into the thick trunk of a tree. The bark scratches my upper back, creating a sharp sting that radiates down my spine, and the sleeve of my dress falls off my shoulder, revealing the white lace of my chemise underneath. He presses into me, the hard planes of his body moulding to my soft curves, his arms coming to rest on either side of my head until I'm blocked in, surrounded by temptation and bad decisions.
Do you ever stop talking?
He quips. Irritation winds through my middle, and I open my mouth to reply, but before I can, he sweeps in, claiming my lips in a bruising kiss. My hands fly to the back of his head as I pull him closer, inhaling the hint of smoke on his breath and trying to implant the taste on my tongue. He groans, his hips pushing harder against me, the thick length of his cock gliding along my belly. His teeth sink into my lip, piercing my flesh. A moan pours from my throat, and he swallows the sound, licking along the wound and sucking, his tongue swiping over the bubbling liquid. I jerk back.
Did you just lick my blood?
One of his hands grips my waist and drags me until we're plastered together, his other palm grabbing the back of my head, fingers digging into my bun and pulling the strands until my neck bends.
I will lick and suck and cut any part of you I wish, as often as I wish, until you're begging me to slice you open and do it some more.
My stomach flips at his words, shock mixing in with the sharp rush of desire that splices down my middle.
I want to consume you, Sarah, until I feel you thrumming in my veins.
That's sick, I say. I thought you hated me.
He pauses at this, his hand releasing my hair and moving to cup my jaw, his thumb wiping the remnants of blood from my mouth.
What is hate but
obsession, tinged with fear. His palm slaps over my mouth, the rings on his fingers cold against my flesh. Stop talking. He grips the skirt of my dress and moves it slowly up my leg, the fabric tickling my skin. My abdomen tightens, a warm sensation spinning like a cyclone in my stomach. My leather garter is exposed, and his fingertips trace over the daggers, his stiff cock pulsing against my torso as he traces along their sharp edges.
Ma petite menteuse, pretending to be so pure.
He drops to his knees, leaning in and kissing the spaces between my blades.
So innocent.
My chest heaves as my heart slams against my ribs. He works his way inward, his lips peppering kisses across my flesh until he reaches the lace edge of my drawers. Quick as a flash, he's removed one of the blades, twirling it in his fingers. My stomach jumps, wondering if I've made a mistake. How stupid of a woman must I be for giving my enemy a blade and trusting he won't slit my throat? Still, I don't move from my spot. If this is where death finds me, at least it will be my choice. With one of his hands holding up my dress, the other drags the dagger up my thigh, creating pinpricks of sensation as a shallow red line appears. He hasn't cut the skin, but he's dangerously close, and the anticipation has my senses heightening, wetness seeping from my center. He slips the tip of the blade beneath the lace, and glances up at me, his green eyes blazing with heat so fierce I swear I can taste it in my soul.
Do you trust me, little doe?
He asks. My heart stalls. No, he smirks.
Good.
And then he flicks the knife, splicing open the fabric until cool air whips across my bare skin, making me gasp from the sudden chill. But I needn't worry. Because soon enough, his mouth is on me, his nose pressing into my soft curls, and his tongue lavishing attention on my sensitive bud, making it pulse and swell with every swipe. I moan, my body collapsing into the tree, fingers tangling in his disheveled locks as I push my hips against his face, letting him suck my cunt like he's a desperate man. I pant out, the sensation's almost too much to bear. He alternates between licking me in long strokes and pulling me into his mouth, his cheeks hollowing as he does. I can't! My fingers tug at his head, torn between trying to wrench him away or smothering him whole, the pressure coiling inside me too much, too fast. When everything squeezes until I black out from the pleasure, I force him away, ripping his hair at the root as I pull him off my throbbing pussy. I heave. Deep and unsteady breaths, my mind whirling and my muscles tight, begging for release. He drops the dagger on the ground and slides up my body, his eyes dark and his mouth glistening. I can smell my arousal, and it makes my nerves pulse. I want to lean in and lick away the wetness from his lips, just to see how I taste when I'm fresh off his tongue. His hands grip my wrists and move them above my head, the trunk of the tree chapping my overheated skin as he locks them in one of his palms.
Do not keep me from you, he demands.
His other hand glides back up the inside of my thigh, finding my core drenched and needy, and he slides two fingers into the hilt, curling them forward to rub against my inner walls.
Oh, God! I cry, my legs buckling as pleasure cascades through me in fierce waves.
Such a filthy little liar, pretending you don't want to come for me,
he whispers in my ear, his hold tightening. I arch my back, heat collecting deep in my core and spreading outward until I can't see straight.
So naive. Assuming I would stop if you told me no.
His thumb presses against my swollen clitoris before releasing it, causing my pussy to clench around his thick fingers, my insides winding so tight it steals my breath.
Please, I beg, growing delirious from his teasing.
Please what, little doe?
Make me come. I need to come.
Do you deserve it?
He asks.
I will kill you, I snap, frustration overflowing like a bubbling pot.
He chuckles, drifting his fingers in and out, a torturous pace that's keeping me riding the edge, so close to exploding, yet never enough to make me burst.
Tell me you're mine, ma petite menteuse, that no other man has had you.
The anger explodes like a gunshot inside of me. Irritated, he thinks he can control me the way he is. Annoyed that it seems to be working. Snapping my eyes open, I meet his stare. But then I'd be a liar. His entire frame stiffens, his movements freezing.
Who?
None of your business.
Tell me his name, he croons, so I can hunt him down and cut him to pieces.
I arch my back until my chest grazes against his torso. No! He grins, letting out a controlled breath as he releases me so fast I drop to the ground.
Then you don't deserve to come.
You're disturbed, Tristan, I yell after him.
But he's already walking away, leaving me a panting, infuriated mess. Chapter 35. Sarah B.
I do not care for this. Let me speak to my brother.
Michael's voice is high-pitched and strained, so loud that I shrink back against the wall. My uncle stands on the other side of his desk, his body rigid as he leans on his dark wood cane. He glances to me, his icy eyes dark and raging, as if this is somehow my fault. I'm not even sure what's going on. I woke up to Ophelia throwing open my door, saying the king demanded to see me. I barely had time to let her dress me, and as a result, I'm nowhere near being presentable. My hair is still in its natural curly, frizzy state, brushing against the middle of my back, and I only had time to grab a simple day dress, sans the corset. I feel naked and like I've walked into a room with a loaded gun. What's happened? I ask. My uncle turns to glare at me. Again, I'm taken aback by his obvious anger. I've seen it several times, especially when he's passionately speaking about vengeance for my father, but this is the first it's ever been directed at me. My stomach drops to the floor, my face heating as if 1,000 suns have exploded inside of it. Did they find out about last night? Impossible. I'd be thrown in the dungeons, not standing here without shackles and chains.
What's happened, my uncle starts, is that your cousin, my son, has been kidnapped.
My lungs collapse. What?
Stop, stop, stop,
Michael screeches, his hands coming up to tug on his hair. My eyes widen as I stare at him, noticing the pallid skin and deep bluish-purple bags welting under his eyes. He looks ill.
They know, he mutters to himself. He must be telling them.
I step forward, my insides churning with his ramblings. I'm not sure what has him so out of sorts, but something tells me to tread carefully. Your Majesty, who knows? His eyes snap to mine, and he shoves forward a square wooden box with dusted black metal hinges and an image carved into the wood on top. As I move closer, I realize it's a hyena standing on a dead lion, its teeth bared and its black eyes reflecting flames. The detail is immaculate, and before I can think twice, my fingers are smoothing over the indents, mesmerized by the intricate design.
Open it,
Michael whispers. I do. And my stomach revolts at the sight, nausea whipping through my middle and up into my throat. It's a hand, severed at the wrist, with dried blood caked on every inch of skin until it looks as though it's been gnawed on. And right beside it, is a pair of horn-rimmed glasses. "Is that?" I ask, my eyes flicking from Michael to my uncle. Rafe nods, his nostrils flaring as he slams the base of his cane on the floor.
"There's a note," Michael whispers, his voice cracking.
He slides a piece of paper to me, but before I can see what it says, the door swings open and Tristan waltzes inside as if he owns the room and everyone in it. His piercing jade eyes land on me, his gaze flicking up and down my frame, flaring as they coast over my unpinned hair.
"Tristan, finally!"
Michael blows out a breath.
"You rang, brother,"
Tristan smiles, walking farther into the room.
"You look dreadful. Bad sleep."
"This is no time to be joking," Uncle Rafe cuts in. "I demand we call a meeting with the Privy Council."
Confusion drops through me like a falling piece of paper. My uncle hates the Privy Council and everything they stand for. They're partly why my father had to beg for aid in the first place. Filled with selfish men who forgot about our country and became about greed.
"Uncle, honestly, what do you think the Privy Council could do?"
Again, he slams his cane on the ground.
"Silence, girl. We don't have time for stupid questions."
His words smack across my face, as surely as if it were his hand. Tristan's head snaps to him, his gaze narrowing. Michael's fist beats down on his desk, the strands of his usually slicked back hair falling on his forehead.
"You do not make demands of me, Raphael. I am the king, and you are no one. With all due respect, you are only as strong as your weakest link, Your Majesty. And clearly there are a lot of weak links if my son is so easily taken."
Raphael steps closer, jabbing his finger in the air.
"Your father would have never allowed this to happen."
Silence. Tense, heavy silence.
"Not to interrupt this fascinating show," Tristan drawls, "but why am I here?"
"Yes," Michael snaps, turning to Raphael. "Leave, before I take out a pistol and shoot you where you stand."
"Your Highness,
I said leave."
His voice booms off the furniture and echoes around the walls so loud it vibrates my eardrums. My eyes fly back and forth between them, my stomach tangling in knots. Rafe bows at the waist before standing upright and making his way toward me. He grips my arm, jostling me along with him as he pulls us to the door. I flinch at his tight hold, but allow him to drag me forward, not wanting to start a scene in front of the people we're trying to rise against. It's important to look united in front of others. Just as we reach the door, the pressure leaves my arm, relief flowing through the muscles as the ache disappears. I twist around, my heart faltering when I take in the way Tristan has my uncle's hand in his grasp, bent at an awkward angle.
"Tristan," I gasp, reaching out to separate them.
"Do you always handle women in such a way?"
Tristan asks, ignoring my efforts. My uncle grits his teeth.
"She is my niece and my responsibility, Your Highness." "Then I suggest you take better care of your family."
He dips his head, eyes staring into mine as he whispers in my uncle's ear.
"Do not put your hands on her again."
My chest pulls, wanting to calm the situation down. The last thing I need is my uncle becoming suspicious of why the prince cares. But beneath all that, there's another feeling blooming like a spring flower, casting a warm glow from the middle of my chest. It's nice to be protected, to realize that someone has your back, even if that someone is the very person who shouldn't. Tristan releases him then, barely sparing me another glance before making his way back over to his panicked brother. My uncle's eyes narrow as he shakes out his hand, aggressively waving toward the door.
"Well."
I blow out a shaky breath, nodding as I walk through. We're greeted by at least 5 royal guards, and my brows draw in as we pass them, wondering why there are so many of them suddenly guarding the king's private office. Timothy steps out from the line, and trails behind us, silent as a mouse.
Uncle, I know it's difficult, I start, keeping my voice low, but try to keep the faith.
His lips purse, and even though words aren't said, the energy between us seems off. The tension continues all the way back to my quarters, and when we reach the doors, I spin around, expecting Uncle Rafe to take his leave. Instead, he pushes open the door and storms inside, whirling on me the second we're alone.
It's the rebels.
My brows rise. Do you think? He scoffs, walking past the foyer and into the sitting room, collapsing down on one of the two dark green couches.
You saw the emblem? A hyena. They're mocking us. And now they've killed my son. My chance.
I tilt my head. What do you mean, your chance? His back straightens, fingers tapping the top of his cane like they do every time he's in deep thought.
Uncle,
I sigh, tucking a curl behind my ear and walking over to sit down next to him. I reach out, grasping his hand in mine, trying to provide support. Not that it helps, but I don't think Xander is dead.
No,
he asks, glancing at me from the corner of his eyes. Well, I chew on my lip, thinking through everything I saw this morning and everything I didn't. They left a note, right?
They sent his severed hand, Sarah.
But it wasn't his head, I grimace, knowing that what I'm saying isn't coming out right. I'm just saying, what if they're using him as bait or to send a message? They'd want him alive for that. At this, my uncle twists to face me, his features drawn and filled with obvious sorrow. And if he's alive, I continue, hope flaring in my chest, we can save him. His hand tightens around mine, but he shakes his head.
It's too dangerous.
I scoff, my insides flipping from him dismissing me. Everything we're trying to accomplish is dangerous.
Nobody goes to the Shadowed Lands, he snaps. Your father did, and look what happened to him.
His eyes widen after he says the words, but it's too late. I've already heard. Everything inside of me freezes, and I snatch my palm back, my breath pushed from my lungs as they fold in on themselves. Confusion blankets my mind, and I try to wrap my head around what he just said.
What?
I ask. He grabs my hands, squeezing my fingers.
Listen, Sarah, if you think you can get there, to the Shadowed Lands.
My stomach jolts, anxiety slithering through my muscles until it squeezes tight.
What? I...
You're right, he presses. We can save Alexander.
I shake my head, brows pulling in until my forehead creases.
Wait, tell me what you meant about my father.
He lifts a shoulder.
I meant, look what happened to him. He was murdered.
My teeth grind, sharp pain radiating up my jaw.
Don't treat me like I'm inept. If there's something you're not telling me, then tell me.
My stomach rolls like waves of the ocean in a looming storm.
I deserve to know.
He swallows, dropping my hands and bringing his up to run through his hair.
It wasn't the king who killed your father.
Disbelief slams into me, ripping through my skin like he shoved the words straight into my chest.
I don't understand.
It was the rebels. They captured him on his journey home and tried to use him as a bartering tool. The same way they are with your cousin. Only last time.
His voice shakes as it trails off, and my body freezes, shock spreading through every limb until it grows numb from the icy chill.
But you said, you told me, you lied to me, all this time?
Your father was a duke, sweet niece, gifted the title by King Michael II himself. The rebels saw an opportunity, wrongly assuming the new king would find him too important to lose.
I shoot to my feet, betrayal slicing through my insides like a heated blade. Grief for my father, and realization that everything I've been told is a lie, pouring through my middle like lava.
So, what was the point of all this?
The point?
He glances up at me, his eyes glossy.
The point is the same as it always has been. They captured your father, tortured him, and the Crown did nothing but stand by and watch. They're just as responsible. Don't let this distract you from what we came here to do.
No, I shake my head, the omissions of my family sitting heavy on my tongue until my mouth tastes sour. No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to stand there and tell me how to feel or how to act, not when you've been lying to me.
A burn scorches up my throat and settles between my eyes, tears threatening to blur my vision.
You lied to me!
Not here, ma petite menteuse. They don't get your tears.
Tristan's voice rings through my head, as if he's standing behind me and coaching me through the pain. Through the absolute devastation of everything I thought I knew, being demolished from the inside out. I stiffen my jaw, forcing the emotion back down.
I was trying to save you, my uncle shouts.
His hand turns white as he presses down on his cane to help him stand.
Your father trained you very well, Sarah, but going to the Shadowed Lands is too dangerous.
He walks closer, his eyes trying to capture mine, but I glance away, unable to even look him in the face.
I'm sorry, he whispers. I'm so sorry we kept this from you. I've tried to do right by you my entire life, and when he died,
his voice cracks,
I was terrified to lose you too.
Yet you'll send me here for no reason.
No.
His hand cups my jaw, tilting up my head.
The Farsars are still guilty. They still deserve to rot. But the rebels are uncivilized, their leader a ghost. It's a different game to play. I couldn't bear for something to happen to you too.
My teeth grit together, a new fire burning in the pit of my stomach, one that blazes brighter with every word he speaks, snuffing out everything in its path.
I welcome death, as long as I take the ones responsible down with me.
I hiss through my clenched jaw. Rafe blows out a shaky breath, nodding his head.
Then you'll need to kill the Rebel King.
Chapter 36. Tristan. The guilty must pay for their sins. I stare at the scrawled note, the one that was written by me, before placing it down on Michael's desk and looking up at him. And what have you done to be guilty of, brother? I ask. What has Xander done? Michael's eyes shift from left to right. Nothing, of course. My boot presses on the wood floor, causing it to creak, and his body jumps. Amusement rains down my insides, and I remind myself to smother the grin wanting to spread across my face. Do you ever think about our father? He asks, his fingers white-knuckling the back of his chair. The question makes my stomach twist, like it does any time I think of our father.